Amen. Well, it's good to see everyone. I know YouTube's got to catch up a minute. Just got you up and started and around. I'm excited. I hope you've had a good day. The weather has been beautiful outside, and just thankful for that and how God's blessed richly through the day. It's been beautiful, and hope that you came looking for a blessing. I appreciate everyone tuning in this morning. Once again, I did have someone on YouTube this morning that had signed in. I did not catch the name and did not even catch the prayer request, but I've seen that they wanted something added. If you've had the opportunity, if you're watching tonight and you're that individual, on our website has my email address. If you want to email me, I'd be glad to put that on there. I did not catch it, and so far YouTube has not put the live chats on. If they do, I'll be able to catch it, but until they do, I don't have any record of who was on or what has been said because it's not like they give me a manuscript after. So I would be glad to answer your email or put them on the prayer list. I don't mind praying for anyone. Everyone needs prayer. And feel free to email me that information. And that email, I don't believe I have it on the YouTube, but I do have it on our website, nsbcpembroke.com. And love to hear from you. If you've got your hymn book with you, turn to page number 7. I gave my life for thee. And let's stand as we sing the first song here. I hope that you're really focused on missions today. I believe that we've got off to the right start. And I'm excited to see what God has in store. It's definitely been an odd year. And you say preacher missions is no different. And honestly, we think that it's odd for us. Imagine some of these other countries, they haven't been like America. And there's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of heartaches and hardships that are going on. And these missionaries are out there and they're still going. And some are still on deputation and having struggles and difficulties. I know right now I've pretty well shut the doors to those that are traveling. I don't want to bring it in. And I'm trying to protect our flock. So do pray for these missionaries. All right, page number 7. If you're willing and able, let's stand. I gave my life for thee. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, what hast thou aught for me? I left it all for me, hast thou left aught for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me? On the last, and I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for missionaries that we have, that, Lord, they'll be faithful and willing, Lord, to just be obedient. But then, Lord, I'm thankful as well to be a part of that, that we can participate and help send missionaries and help spread your gospel. And, Lord, I know that there's a work. It's not just for the missionaries to do, Lord, it's also for us in the local church, Lord. We've got a mission field right out our door, and Lord, I pray that You would help us, that we would be found faithful, spreading the gospel, but then, Lord, we would be burdened. I had announced this morning 7.6 billion people in this world, and Lord, without You, they're all going to go to hell, and Lord, I pray that You would help us, Father, to really have a burden for souls and really have a desire to reach the lost that are around us. Lord, we know that that's Your heart and Your desire. And so, Father, I pray that You would make us more in Your image. And, Lord, that in that transformation, You would do that work in our heart, that we would have a heart after you, Lord. And, Father, I just pray, meet with us tonight. Have Your will and way in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. If you would, take your hymn books, turn over to page number 316. 316, you may be seated. We often think of this song as a children's song, but it's got a lot of meat to it. It's got a lot of truth behind it here. Now, I wonder how many have said that they've really decided, but it's only because the group is going. Would you decide to follow Christ if you were the only one that was going to be there with Him? And so I encourage you to really listen to it. Don't just sing it. Really listen to it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Let's sing that again. It's not very long. We've got time. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. On the second, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Boy, I'm thankful I have a Savior I can follow. I don't need to turn back. Take your hymn books and turn over to page number 244, Amazing Grace. This is why I don't need to turn back. It's amazing, amazing every day. And it's still amazing grace after salvation of so many years. It still just amazes me that He saved me. And He loves me in spite of me and blesses me in spite of me. And it's amazing grace. If you're willing and able, let's stand as we sing here. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. On the third, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already gone. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen, amen. I'm thankful for amazing grace. Amen. Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn over to John chapter 6. We'll look back at our passage that we looked at this morning. John 6, verse number 1 through 14. I want us to come to this passage, and once again, I'm going to ask you, and I know I just read it to you this morning. I know you've heard it many times, but I want you to leave it as if this was the first time you was hearing it. If God was really able to reveal to you something that you've never known before, through this passage, I really believe that so often we get wrapped up in the Bible, and it's maybe even an account that we enjoy, but we've just got to the place that we don't hear God speaking to us from it because we already have the story fixed in our mind. And just allow yourself to be influenced today by the Word of God. John chapter number 6, verse number 1, if you're willing and able, we'll stand. After these things, in verse number 1, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" In verse number 6, "And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do." Philip, in verse 7, answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said in verse 10, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would when they were filled. He said unto His disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And therefore, in verse 13, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. It's been a wonderful day. I do thank You for the mild weather that You gave us. Thankful for the sweet spirit that we had this morning. And Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight. Lord, it should have been a spirit of discernment, Lord, a spirit that we could begin to allow You to examine and allow You to reveal some things in our life as far as missions is involved.
And Lord, I pray that You would encourage us tonight as we continue on this theme, continue on this direction, Lord, that You would help us to see Your desire through missions. And Father, that we could be a part of just living by faith, walking by faith, and Lord, pleasing You by faith. And Father, help us tonight as we study this passage of Scripture. Let it be fresh to us again. And Lord, I'm thankful for how You've revealed these things to me. And Lord, it's such a familiar passage, but it's such a treat to come back to it. And Lord, I pray Your will be done. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I can't help but come to this passage of Scripture and not think about Brother Stennett Ballew. Brother Stennett Ballew loved to preach from this passage of Scripture. He would talk about the lad, and there was so much that he would bring out. And boy, this was a common passage for him. Of course, he had preached very great amount of Faith Promise Missions conferences. He would bring people to understanding what it was by faith and giving your little that God would make a lot. And I've had the great opportunity to be able to hear him and sit under some of his preaching. And just such a blessing before he went home to be with the Lord earlier this year. And as God had brought this passage to me, I just had to have a smile on my face as I thought about old Brother Stennett Ballew and how faithful he was in giving his little that God would use greatly and still influencing today. As we come to this passage of Scripture, I wonder how often we try to plan our next move. We want to see what direction we're going, and we try to second guess, or we try to maneuver in the right directions. Maybe it's when problems arise, and we think about those problems, and we try to, maybe it's even cut around them to where they're not as bad, or very seldom with a problem do we try to charge forward. We normally try to skirt around the outside, or we'd even try to maybe turn a 180 and go the other direction and not have that fear and that problem in front of us anymore. Maybe it's the fact that we've tried to figure out our next move as we plan our lives. So often in our lives, we try to look out, and I'm not saying that goals are a bad thing. I believe that you should make some goals. Every year you should have spiritual goals. Every week you should have spiritual goals. Every day you should have spiritual goals. And goals are a good thing. I believe that even physically, in your finances and in your direction in life, goals are not bad. But often as we try to plan our moves and we look at the future and we say, all right, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that or I'm going to do this. I'm reminded about old brother Mike that was up in the nursing home, and I pray that they're doing well. We haven't got to see him much this year, but I remember we had tell him that we'll see him next month or we'll see him next week or whatever it was going to be, and he would always point his finger and he'd say, Lord willing. And I said, that's right. And we'd always throw in, and if the creek didn't rise. And so we would come back with, well, I'll be there next week or I'll be there next month if the Lord's willing and the creek doesn't rise. But truthfully, we don't know what tomorrow holds. The Bible makes that very plain. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what we're going to do. We say that we're going to live this long, and we say that we're going to achieve these things, but the truth be known, none of us really know. And you say, well, preacher, what's this have to do with anything? Notice, if you would, over in verse number 6. In verse number 6, the Bible says, and he said to prove him. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And you say, well, preacher, what's that referring to? That's going back to verse number 5, where Jesus had asked Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? May I tell you that Jesus already knew. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew exactly the need that was at hand. He knew exactly what needed done to meet that need. But I want you to understand there's more to it than just him knowing what he was going to do. He also knew what was going to be lined up for him to do it. He knew exactly how every piece of that puzzle was going to fit in. You see, there's much more that he knew than just the fact that he was going to feed those men. He knew how, he knew from whom, he knew everything about the details that was about to take place. And what he was trying to do was get Philip and the other disciples to begin to reason within themselves because he knew what had already been done before he was able to do what he knew he was going to do. Now, I didn't mean to confuse you with all of that. That's a whole lot of knowing and known and done and everything in place. But truthfully, he knew what was already given so that he could be given to him so that he could do what he was going to do. And he knew everyone's place in here. That's what I would like us to look at today or this evening. It's not just the fact that Jesus knew what He was going to do. May I tell you, He also knew what you are going to do. He knew what the disciples were going to do. He knew what the lad was going to do. He knew what the people were going to do. He knew that. And Jesus knows now too. And so I'd like us to look with this idea of what Jesus knows. I think it would really scare us if we knew how much He knows. And He knew every... if we really knew the depth of His knowledge. But may I tell you, He knew the disciples' response. He knew the disciples' response. You say, "Preacher, well, what was their response?" I find here in verse number 7 that Philip answered him. And he said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now I want you to go over to the book of Mark. We'll just go back over there. We were at Mark 6 this morning. In Mark chapter number 6, we find this account. And so I want us to understand a few things as we look at what Jesus really knew. He knew His disciples' response. He knew what Philip was going to say. He was trying to get Philip to understand a few things that Jesus already knew. He said, "Whence are we going to buy this?" Why would He ask him where we're going to buy this? Some would say, well, He had already baited the hook and made Philip think that it was the responsibility that they had to go and buy this bread and go and supply this need for all of these people. But may I tell you, that was already the concern. Now, to be honest, I'm surprised that it wasn't Thomas. In my idea, it would have been Thomas that I would have went to. You say, "Preacher, that's because you know that he betrayed Christ." No, that's because he was the treasurer. He was the treasurer for the group. And so we consider where Thomas was in his position in my mind, but Jesus knew the one to ask. And he said, "Where are we going to buy this?" And Jesus knew his answer. 200 pennyworth isn't enough that we could even buy it, that all of these could even just take a little bit and have some. And so I find in Mark 6, we look at verse number 37. And they're talking about sending them away. And we'll look at that in detail here in a moment in verse 36. But in verse 37, he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And so may I tell you that he knew his disciples' response. They were concerned with the cost. They were concerned with the cost. Most of the time you begin to mention missions. Some people you begin to mention church. Their main thing or their main concern is, what is it going to cost me to be able to go? Boy, I'm thankful that our church doesn't require. I don't even push. I don't really preach it a whole lot. You say, "Preacher, you're preaching money right now in the fact that you're preaching missions." Absolutely not. I'm preaching faith. You see, they were concerned about what it was going to cost them. And Jesus had said, "Give you them to eat." Give yourself. It's not about the money. It's about you. It's not about giving God what He's already blessed me with and saying, "Lord, here's $20. Lord, here's $2,000. Here, Lord, here's $20,000. It wouldn't matter the amount that we had, and we threw it up in the air and said, "Lord, this is Yours." It's the fact that He wants us. It's the fact that it's going to cost Him, cost us, us. And they were concerned about that cost. Well, what's it going to cost me? Well, if I'm going to be able to feed this group, what's the expense behind it? Now, I've been to some camp meetings. I've been to some other meetings, and it amazes me at how many people worry about the thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to have a meeting, and yet we've got souls still going to hell. It's amazing to me that we can raise up this offering so that we can give to someone I'm not saying that there's not a need, but I'm telling you, there's such a focus on people versus souls that need to be saved. And so I wonder about the concern of the cost. What's it going to cost us tonight? What's it going to cost us to really put it in the hands of Jesus? What's it going to cost us to put it in the Lord's hands? Jesus knew your response. Jesus knew the disciples' response. Jesus knew what they were going to say. They were concerned with the cost. But then I find as well that they were calloused instead of compassionate. They were calloused instead of compassionate. I had taken us to Mark chapter 6 this morning. We had looked at verse number 34 and we had seen that Jesus was moved with compassion. May I tell you, the disciples did not share that same compassion. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because as soon as the day was far spent, they had came to Jesus in verse 36 and said, "Hey, Lord, Master, it's time to send them on. Let them go into the villages and buy for themselves." You know what that tells me? They weren't concerned about them. They were concerned about self. They didn't have the same compassion. Jesus saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And the Bible tells us in verse 36 that He was moved with compassion. I'm sorry, in verse 35, that He was moved with compassion. I'm sorry, I'll get it right here in a minute. It's verse 34. And yet, it's no time at all. They're in a desert place in verse 35 and time is far past. Lord, we've spent all the time with them that they really need. Lord, we've given enough of our time. Lord, we've really devoted too much. Let's just send them away and they can buy themselves bread. And Jesus had answered in verse 36, verse 37 of Mark 6, "Give you them to eat." May I tell you, they were calloused instead of compassionate. I wonder when the last time we've looked at a soul and seen it as a price tag instead of an opportunity and a blessing. I wonder when the last time we've looked at Faith Promise Missions and said, "Well, is it really necessary?" Church, I don't know where we'd be without Faith Promise Missions. I really don't. Yes, we had a mission program before. Yes, we supported missionaries. Yes, we tried to glorify God with it. But may I remind you that you cannot please Him without faith? And may I tell you, a missions program without faith won't please Him either. And so, He knew His disciples' response. May I add a note here at the side? These were the ones that was closest to Him. These were the ones that followed Him. These were the ones that spent time, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Remember when He had came to Peter and Andrew? Remember when He had came to James and John? Remember when He had came to Matthew and He told him, "Follow Me"? And all the disciples had followed Him. None of them were forced to follow. Would you say that we have the compassion of Christ? Or would you say that we're as calloused as the disciples? We live in 2020. And I'm afraid that we're more callous now than ever. Death really has been desensitized through video games and Hollywood and even the media desensitizes death. But may I tell you, eternity is still real. And I don't know that we have the compassion over the callous. And so may I tell you as well that He knew from whom He would receive. As much as He knew His disciples' response, He knew from whom He would receive. I want you to go back over to the book of John chapter number 6 and look at this. We find here in verse number 8, "And one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here." I want us to stop. I notice, first of all, that He knew it would be from one He would receive, that it was someone who was present. It would be from someone present. You say, "Preacher, I don't have to be present in order to be used of the Lord." You don't, but it's amazing to me at how many people are so far back there that God can't use them anymore. It's amazing that the need is here right now, and you're going to be 3 days late. I'm thankful that God's never late, that He's always on time. But may I remind you that we're late. And He says here that it was from someone who was present at the time of need. And may I tell you what that means? With Him being there, with Him being present, He was in the place where God could speak to Him. Now, I don't know how this setting was. I can see as the multitude is coming up, of course, we would picture that Jesus would be the focal point. Jesus would be the center of that multitude, the center of that crowd. And there would be folks coming left and right. And I don't know, maybe they were more compassionate or tender with each other. And they actually formed a line and they waited their turn, because that's not usually how it goes today. And so as they were coming to Christ, maybe they had heard, maybe even this lad was there and he had heard Jesus ask Philip, "Hey, from whence are we going to buy these people some bread? Hey, what are we going to do?" Maybe he even heard him tell the disciples, "Give ye them to eat. Give yourself as a meal. Give yourself to them." He was to the place where God could speak to him. You know, it's amazing to me, and I'm thankful for the YouTube, but it's amazing at how many people, this is the church time. 6 o'clock on Sunday nights is when we start. It's church, and I know that I've got an empty sanctuary tonight. I've got my family here, but as far as the congregation of the church, it's via YouTube. And I'm thankful for that opportunity, and we're trying to do everything that we can. And listen, there's no one that's ready for things to go back to normal more than I am. I'm ready to do everything again and just keep it going. But in the same sense, I don't want to be visiting everyone in the hospital because I was overzealous and decided that I would just go on and ignore what God has put in my heart. I want to be obedient to Him. But may I tell you that if there is a need right now, and you're not with us right now, you're late. God's going to speak to you in a different manner than for the need that's at hand. When He was here, in verse number 9, we find that this was the lad that was in a place where he could be used. Not just the fact that God could speak to him, but he was in the place where he could really be used. I think about Elijah. And so many times we preach about Elijah. And boy, God had touched him. He had prayed that there would be no more rain. And God had sent him there to the brook. And there at the brook, he's waiting and he's waiting and he's waiting. No. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean he wasn't waiting?" He wasn't waiting at all. He was just kind of hanging out. He was to drink at the brook Cherith. And the ravens were going to bring him in some bread and some meat, and they were going to take care of him. God had it all under supply. But may I tell you, if he would not have went there to that brook, and he would have picked any other brook, he would have been unable to be used by God and would have not received the blessings that God had for him. I find as well that when he went to Zarephath and he went to that widow woman's house, he needed to go to her. He went to that place, there where God had the blessing. And how often do we miss the blessing as much as miss being able to be used by God because we have not been here where God can use us? I find as well that he knew from whom he would receive. It was from someone present, but then I find that it was from someone with potential. It was from someone with potential. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Notice this. In verse number 9, it says here, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." This is potential. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean this is potential?" And in the end of that verse, he says, "But what are they among so many?" No, hold on a second. He just needed to have it. He didn't need to worry about what he had or how much he had or how far that would go. No, all he had to do was have it. May I tell you that every one of us have potential to be used by God. Every one of us have potential to be a vessel that God wants to use to bring glory to Him. And the problem is something had to be left for the Lord to use. May I remind you about all the rest that were there? This young lad is the only one that had any potential to feed anyone. You remember those 12 baskets? You know, I've often thought about those 12 baskets, and I don't really know how to preach it because I don't have enough Scripture to back it anyway, but may I tell you that we know in Mark chapter number 6 that Jesus was taking them. They hadn't even had enough time to eat. And yet we find in this account in Mark 6 and then in Matthew, I believe it's 14, and in Luke chapter number, I want to say it's 9, and then in John chapter 6, and I could go back up to my Bible and see all of that, but each one tells us that they collected 12 basketfuls. May I tell you what could have happened? I don't know. Now, I'm not trying to preach this, but this is just a thought, and it's very logical you think this out. When they went to load that boat, they got them a box, a brown basket special. A brown basket special. And they took that, and there's 12 of them, and they took that, and they went ahead, and they were eating it on the way when they were going. But by the time they got there, they had nothing left to give for the Lord to use. You say, preacher, they were working, they were ministering, yeah, but they were empty. I'm afraid that there's a lot of us today that we have no potential to be used by God because we're empty. We've emptied out to the things of this world. Our schedules are so full. Listen to me, I know how it can be. I've quit my secular job and I still find myself just as busy, if not busier, than I ever was when I had a secular job. I have to make myself have time devoted to the Lord or I will be empty for Him. And you're no different. It doesn't matter. You can say, preacher, I'm going to give it at the end. I'm going to take the time at the end of the day. I found that you will be empty all day long. I don't know where these 12 baskets came from. It makes logical sense to me to think that it would have been from the disciples. There was 12 of them. That's why the number fits in place. They filled them. It was used to their blessing. I get it, but may I tell you, those baskets were empty in order for them to have been filled. They had no potential. I find here that God can use anyone who will leave something for Him to use. How many times do we spend hours on our phones? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hateful. How many times do we spend hours entertaining other things? How many times are we consumed with our lusts and our desires for this physical life? They don't have to be impure. They just have to be distracting us. And so I find that it was someone with a priority. It was someone with a priority. Notice, if you would, at the end of verse number 9, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said, "But what are they among so many?" He said, preacher, where's the priority? The young boy said, this is it. This is what I have. It's yours. You can use it. You can have it. Simon said it, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said it's really not even worth messing with. I wonder how many times we've felt like it wasn't even worth messing with. There's such a task in front of us. It's really hopeless. I mean, look at the sin of this world. Look at how corrupt it is. I mean, honestly, we were just, some of us in church today, and then Sister Sarah and I was discussing, there's a church in Savannah that just dropped out of, and listen, their denomination was corrupt anyway, but they just dropped out of their church umbrella so that they could be more accepted by the LGBTQ XRZ groups. So, preacher, what's that all mean? It's wicked. Have we ever said that we really don't have that much of a priority on it? You see, Andrew, he's like, you know, but what are they among so many? It really isn't even going to matter. It's not even significant enough to make a dent. And we would look back and we'd say, well, you know, we really can't do anything. I'm thankful that God can. and so I look as well. And in John chapter number 6, that he knew the exact reach. Look, if you would, verse number 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, we know from verse 6 that he already knew what he was going to do. But may I tell you, he knew exactly who it was going to reach. You see, he knew that it was needed for the people then. It was needed. It was needed for those people. They were the ones that were in need right then. I'm thankful this isn't just a story. This isn't just a parable or an illustration. No, 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 no. This was a miracle. This was the fact that they needed fed and they didn't have time to wait. And Jesus was going to feed them. He knew He was going to feed them. And this young boy had said, I've got 5 barley loaves and I've got 2 fish. And Lord, I'm going to put them in Your hands. And Jesus said, have the men sit down. And you say, preacher, did he leave the women and the children out? No. He said, get the men to sit down. And he fed that entire multitude. And in that feeding, he knew that it was going to feed them into a surplus to where there'd be 12 baskets filled. That those disciples, if we would let the Scripture show us, that those disciples could have potential to feed someone else. Or we could look at it as the fact that God was going to satisfy them too, because they had been weary. But may I tell you how far this has went? This was done over 2,000 years ago. And it has been preached over 2,000 years. And so I find that it's still needed in the present. I told you this morning that this young boy and his 5 loaves and 2 fish has been recorded and has been preached and has been told all these years. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to meet, and I don't know if he's going to be a young boy. I don't know. But he's going to be known as the Lad. Brother Richard had said that his name's Lad. We'll go with that. We're going to meet old Mr. Lad, Brother Lad. And Brother Lad's going to be that one, and we're going to go, man, I remember, oh, I love that account. And how you had gave those 5 barley loaves and those 2 fish to the Lord, and God had just broke those. He had given thanks. He had broke them. He had fed that multitude. May I tell you that if the Lord tarries, and next year someone's going to preach it, tomorrow someone's going to preach it, 5 years from now someone's going to preach it, it's still needed in the present wherever we are. We need to know that He already knows, and He knows that it'll reach today because it'll preach today. Oh, He's still the bread of life. He's still the one that can supply all of our needs. He's still the one that if we put it in His hands, He's going to multiply it and use it to the glory of God. Oh, listen. He knew exactly the reach of this miracle that He performed. Would it scare us today if we looked at verse number 6 in John 6, as it says this, He said to prove Him. And just think for a moment that God's given us His Word, and He's given us this opportunity to see how we're going to respond, to see how we're going to react to what He's wanting, because He already knows what He's going to do. But He knows where it's coming from. And yes, as much as God the Father gave it to that little boy through his mama or however it went, God gives us the credit for giving it back to Him. I told you this morning, everything I have is from the Lord. God's given me everything. It's not because I've worked hard for it. It's not because I deserve it. It's not because I've earned it. It's because God's given it to me. But you know, He puts it on my account when I give it back. He gave it
And he gives me credit when I give it back.
Say, preacher, what kind of a credit are you wanting? I'm not necessarily wanting a credit because it's to His glory anyway.
I'm just wanting something to give to Him. The only thing I can give to Him is what He's given me. And it starts with my life. And it continues with the substance of my life. And so,
as we sang earlier, I gave my life for Thee. I wonder what we've given, what we've left, what we've done. But may I remind you that Jesus knows. And what He knows should really scare us to death. Because it's easy to put something on a commitment card and do it and even be faithful at doing it. But that's not what He said. And then we fall short. Because really, only you and Him know what He's desired, what He's called you for, and I wonder what you're holding on to. What Jesus knows. He already knew what He would do. And may I tell you, He knows what you're going to do too. I wonder what you would say to that. And I wonder if we'd be ashamed at what He really does know. Let's pray.
Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I thank You for loving us in spite of us. And Lord, letting us be a part of missions. And Father, that we can come to that place where we can serve You. And Lord, just give You the glory for it. Father, would You help us tonight? That we would truly meditate and truly seek Your face, desiring to know Your heart for us. Lord, let us see the need even greater. I think of this young lad, Lord. And Father, I don't know if he was in the background and heard as there was this discussion going on. And Lord, I don't know if he heard and he's seen the need. But Lord, would You let us see that need today? More today than ever. There's so many that need to be saved around us. As well, Lord, I pray that You would help us be found faithful, Lord. Obedient to You. Desiring to serve. Desiring to just give our all to You. Father, help us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I do want to thank everyone for tuning in. Encourage you to be back with us in-house on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And we'll also be live on YouTube, Lord willing. I'll remember to put it online, and we'll keep it going. And then, of course, Sunday morning, we'll be back live at 11. So, thank you for tuning in tonight. Once again, if you were the one that had put the prayer request on the YouTube live chat, please send me an email via our website. And I would be glad to put that on our prayer list and keep up to date with you. So please, if you're tuning in tonight, please do that. And thank you as well. I'll see you all on Wednesday. Thank you.